Welcome to the primary bilary cholangitis edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the PBC community.
Hello, and welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is your host, Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're in Washington, D.C. at the 2025 meeting of the American Association for the Study of Liver Diseases, and our guest is Dr. Cecilia Dueñas, a psychologist of Mexican origin who was born in San Diego, and she's an advocate for people with primary biliary cholangitis, or PBC. Bienvenidos, and thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's start by hearing your story, where you're from, what you studied, and most importantly, how you discovered you had this disease. You have quite an interesting patient odyssey.
Sure, no problem. So I am from San Diego, California. I am a trained clinical psychologist by profession, but also a mother of two and a wife. I was first experiencing symptoms of PBC shortly after the birth of my second daughter. They started almost immediately after I gave birth to her. I went to my primary care physician immediately and let him know of the symptoms that I was having. And he kind of just brushed it off as postpartum issues and said that perhaps it was due to the fact that I had had my liver or my gallbladder removed during pregnancy. I went back and kind of he told me to rest when I needed to rest and to make sure that I took some time for myself. So I did what he asked me to do. Went back a couple of months later and told him that my symptoms were now progressing. I was having increased fatigue to the point where I couldn't even function. I had to leave things early. I wasn't able to grocery shop, wasn't able to play with my daughters. And then I started having intense itching in my palms of my hands and the soles of my feet and upper right quadrant pain. So I went back to my primary care. He sent me to my endocrinologist thinking that maybe it was thyroid disorder. And then from there, he also sent me to my OB-GYN and said perhaps it was a gynecological issue. So we checked all of those off. As being a Latina, I am a rule follower, so I do what they tell me to do. Went back to him after everything checked out normal and told him that I was still having symptoms. So from there, he told me that perhaps it was because I was overweight and needed to lose some weight.
Before we go on, when did all this happen? What year are we talking about?
This was 2013 into 2014.
At what age?
I was 33, about to turn 34.
Okay. And you already had two children?
I already had two daughters.
Two daughters. And so first he said it was a thyroid issue. Then he said it might be a gynecological issue. Then he said it might be a weight issue. Obviously, it was none of those three.
It was none of those three.
So as I recall from your presentation, which, by the way, for our listeners, was about discrimination and bias and stigma, you lost over 100 pounds.
I lost over 100 pounds because I, again, followed the rules, saw a nutritionist, saw a weight loss specialist, and did what he told me to do. I lost all the weight, thinking and hoping that my symptoms would improve, but they actually continued to get worse. So then he said, maybe you lost the weight too fast and you're missing nutrition.
Over what time period did you lose this 100 pounds?
18 months.
So while it may have helped some things, it made your primary disease worse.
Correct. I think it was just the time that had elapsed without being treated.
And you still had no idea that it was liver-related?
No idea whatsoever. Even though my liver enzymes were elevated, he kept saying it was due to something else.
So nobody saw a red flag here?
Nobody saw me as an individual whole patient. They only saw their subspecialties. So the endocrinologist only checked for endocrinology issues. The gynecologist only checked for gynecological issues. The weight loss specialist only focused on the weight loss. No one even referred me to a hepatologist.
And I recall in your presentation at one point, they kept you waiting because they needed supposedly a translator.
Correct. They saw my medical records, stated that my last name was Dueñas and that Spanish was my first language, but I never requested a translator. I never stated that I didn't speak the language. And after 40 minutes of waiting, I stuck my head out and asked the nurse if I would be seen soon. And her jaw dropped and said, oh, we didn't realize you spoke English. We were waiting for the translator.
Without even asking you?
Without even asking me.
Do you think that happens a lot?
I do, especially where we're from, in San Diego.
So when they realized that you were actually bilingual, then what?
The doctor came in immediately, but unfortunately for me, I had now been 6 years with no diagnosis when I first saw that first hepatologist. This particular hepatologist didn't even close the door, didn't even examine me, took one look at me and said, you're Latina? And I said, yes. And she says, oh, you probably have fatty liver disease.
Why make that assumption?
It's prevalent in Latinos, but she didn't even take a second to look at my labs. She didn't take a second to review any of my records. And most importantly, when I tried to tell her that it wasn't fatty liver disease, that I had all my records with me, she put her hand up said, stop Googling, let me be the doctor.
And how did you react?
I walked away in tears. She ran after me and said, you forgot your liver slip, your liver lab slip. And I said, no, we're done here. You will not be part of my care team.
Good for you. So you basically fired your doctor.
I fired my entire medical team after 6 years. Everybody.
And how much did you spend on those visits?
It was almost $5,000 just on copays. But that does not include any labs. That doesn't include any of the medications or nutrition plans that I had to pay for or the weight loss plans. And it doesn't include parking or time missed or the fact that I went from working 60 hours to losing my adjunct position to going into private practice and only working 30 hours, 20 hours, 10 hours, and finally having to put myself on a sabbatical.
Unbelievable. And at that point, as I recall, you told your husband you were changing your last name or taking his.
I did. At that point, I was so frustrated being told that nothing was wrong with me that I felt that maybe if I took his American last name, I would get treated better and be treated with more respect.
But you didn't do that in the end.
I did. I changed all my medical records to reflect his last name, but I ended up switching back to Duenas after I was diagnosed and I realized that I never should have had to drop my identity to be treated.
Of course not. So how did you get diagnosed?
I finally found a Latino hepatologist in San Diego who, when I saw him, actually had reviewed all my medical records and I didn't have to tell him anything. Immediately he saw me and he said, I think I know what you have and I think you have primary biliary cholangitis.
PBC. And that's what you thought you had to begin with?
That's exactly what I thought because I'm a researcher at heart, so I had already done all the research.
And then what happened after he confirmed that this is in fact your disease?
I was able to start on treatment within a month.
And did you see some improvement?
We did not. I was a non-responder to the first line treatment.
What was that?
Ursodiol. And then after that, we didn't have another medication to try because it's such a rare disease. We now have two medications that are available to us, but back then we didn't. And so I had to wait for the FDA to emergency approve a medication in order to even start. So I just had to wait a year and progress and get worse and worse and worse until something was finally available.
Just as an aside, how, you say it's a rare disease. Of course it is. How rare is it? What is the incidence? And furthermore, is the disease more common in people of Latino origin?
It is not. It is more common in Caucasian women, and in fact, they tend to get diagnosed within the first month. They don't have to wait 7 years. In Latino women, the disease progresses faster, and when you're diagnosed at my age, at a young age for primary biliary cholangitis, the disease also progresses faster. Okay. I'm actually one of the rarest of the rare in that I'm antibody negative. So most people who are diagnosed with PBC are AMA positive. I am not. I'm AMA negative.
Please, if you would explain, how rare is the disease in terms of incidence or prevalence?
So I actually calculated my prevalence with AMA negative and as a Latina, and I'm 0.00025% of the population.
Okay, so extremely rare. You decided to start a foundation.
Correct. So after I had my initial battle, I vowed to never be silenced again. And I wanted to become an advocate and make sure that other people had a voice in PBC. But for me, being a data researcher and previously had been a professor, data was really important. So I ended up founding the PBC Research Foundation, which collects patient-reported outcomes and biospecimens in PBC patients and matches it with their patient story and patient voice so that we're able to go forth to the FDA the next time that one of our medications is up to be canceled.
Is there any other organization doing what you're doing at this point?
In the liver field, it is very rare that you have patient collected data that is owned by patients. So most data is either owned by researchers and universities or they're owned by pharmaceutical companies and clinical trials. So to my knowledge, we are one of two. And like I said, it is incredibly rare to have patient owned data, but that's the only way that I'll get forth to the FDA by being non-biased.
Can you give us an idea how many people are working there or how big is it or what's your staff? Just some way to quantify
so
what you do.
So we just started in December and I have a chief scientific officer. I have a biorepository specialist. I have board members and I also have an intern who helps me start kind of the collection and stuff.
Well, and do you have any or planning any outreach in Spanish?
Absolutely, 100%. We are partnered with the PBCers as an alliance, the North American Alliance, and we're also partnering with a PBC group in Mexico. We're hoping to collect data not just from Mexican or Spanish-speaking patients, but also patients in the rural community and in the Native American community.
And a lot of people have diseases and they're not aware of it.
Correct.
Including Alpha 1.
Yes.
So tell us, if you what are you doing with regard to these other communities? Are you, for example, translating literature into Spanish? Are you offering information online, et cetera?
Yes. So all our surveys and data collection will be translated into 5 different languages so that we can reach most people across not just the U.S., but across the globe as well. And then with partnering with the PBCers, they have all their information in different languages as well and support groups in different languages. So they're able to access not only the community, but the data and the research in their native language.
Wonderful. Now, I'd like to just ask you, in terms of this event here, the liver meeting, PBC, it does come up. I mean, it's not a major focus of this group because a lot of the focus is on alcohol-related disease as it relates to liver. Tell us, if you will, what's being done to raise awareness of this particular disease among the medical profession?
I think it's really making sure that the patient advocates are reaching other patients to create awareness, but that we're also partnering with our own healthcare provider.
We're almost out of time. Any final thoughts about this?
We're not just stopping with PBC. We're going across liver disorders. So anything that co-occurs with PBC, such as alpha-1 or fatty liver disease or intercholestasis of pregnancy, we're going to look at those patients as well because we tend to share them across disorders. So I'm not just stopping with PBC. I'm making sure that the entire liver community is going to be included and made aware of the risks and benefits.
And just as an aside, all of these doctors that kind of second-guessed you and brushed you off, did you ever go back to any of them and tell them you were wrong?
One of them was actually at a gala that I presented an award at, and I, when I spoke my story, this particular hepatologist did stand up and walk out of the room. I think she remembered me.
She walked out of the room rather than come over to you and say, sorry?
Correct.
How did you react?
I just left. I mean, I didn't know what else to do.
Cecilia, thank you so much. We've been talking with Dr. Cecilia Duenas, who has PBC and became a patient advocate and, in fact, has started the PBC Research Foundation to help other patients raise awareness of the disease so that what happened to her will never happen again to anyone else. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.